What a wonderful morning so far. This is so fun. So hi, for any of you I've not met yet or anyone who's new today, I'm Hannah. I'm 26 years old and I spend my week working in a school with 2 to 3 year olds. It's an absolute privilege and it never gets old that I get trusted with people's most precious people. It really is, even if I have to remind myself of that through gritted teeth when I'm covered in snot, wee and other unfortunate things. Outside of work, I love doing life with people. I like doing the good, the bad and the ugly. One of my favourite things in the world is to see the way that God transforms and restores lives. So this morning, I'm in my element, I love this. So that's a little bit about me. Now for a little bit about what we've been up to as a church. Since the summer, we've been studying the Bible together, starting with the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and working our way through to the fifth book called Deuteronomy, which we looked at last week. We've been discovering the journey of the people of God, the Israelites, and the journey that they went on, how from the very beginning God has been with them, how he's wanted to be close to them and have nothing to separate himself from them. When I was asked first if I would speak during this season of knowing your Bible, I thought, oh my word. I'm not a theologian. I've not gone to Bible college. I'm not an expert on scripture. How on earth am I going to share and teach anything on the Bible to people here today? But when I stopped trying to disqualify myself, I realised how God has used scripture to shape my life and my walk with him. And so that's what I'd like to share with you all this morning. So I want you to know that I don't stand here as an expert by any means. I'm speaking to you as someone who is passionate about knowing God and being known by God. And I believe that scripture is a really, really beautiful way of exploring both of those things. My title this morning, can I have my picture up, please? is that scripture is a map to the core of our Father's heart. And I'd like to start by clarifying what I mean by that. What I mean when I say the heart of God or God's heart. The Hebrew word for heart is, please don't correct me right now, lev, I think. The word refers to the core of someone's being, their inner place, their emotions and their inclinations. So when I speak about the heart of God or God's heart, this is what I'm referring to. He is inclined towards us. His emotions and his heart is for us, and he wants to reveal that inner place in himself to us. I am the worst at directions, as some of you wonderful people will have unfortunately experienced over the years. If I get too involved in conversation, I forget the way that I'm supposed to go, even if the sat-nav has only told me seconds before. Some of you will know my really good friend, Emily Burton. She knows how horrendous I am with following directions. So much so that when we go, when we're approaching a roundabout together and the sat-nav says, at the roundabout, take the third exit, she counts for me. She goes, one, no, not this one. Two, it's the next one. Yep, get ready, yep. Three, yes, yes, that's the one right there, yeah. You did it. This is the kind of step-by-step direction I need to get anywhere in life. Although I promise I am a safe driver. We all need direction in life, regardless of how good you are at following your sat-nav. The Bible is full of direction. For me, one of the most beautiful and valuable things about scripture is that time and time again, it leads me to the heart of God, right to that inner place with him. It teaches me who he is, and it reminds me of the promises that he's made to me. I'd like to just stop for a moment and take the pressure off us all. I want you to know the truth that yes, the more we read the word of God, he will change our hearts. He'll change how we see him. But the amount we read scripture doesn't affect our standing with him. He doesn't love us more the more we read our Bible. And it doesn't change whether we're saved or not. He loves you as much now as he ever could do. And if you believe in him, you're saved. That's the end of it. I'd spent a large part of my late teens and early 20s coming under the lie that God loved me more if I read my Bible more, that I was a better Christian if I read my Bible more. To be honest, this heaped on the guilt and the condemnation to a point where I didn't enjoy reading scripture. It was a chore. I couldn't connect with it or engage with it, and so I wouldn't read it, and that was an ongoing cycle for me for quite a few years. I began to ask the Holy Spirit to open my eyes, to what he was saying through his word. I can't say that it was instant, and I do continue to pray that prayer almost every time I open the Bible, but over a few years, I'm believing that he would indeed open my eyes and ears to what he was saying to me. The word really began to sink deep into my heart, and I started to read and understand it differently. The journey for me began one morning over banana pancakes, maple syrup, and coffee, which I believe that all good journeys should start that way. I think that perhaps the Lord was trying to get my attention from the very start of that morning. I was in America, and my heart had been crying out to God for months to know him more. He'd saved me, I knew that, and I knew that he loved me, but I didn't really know him. I didn't know deep down who he was or what he was like. A friend of the people that I was staying with over there began to speak into my life over breakfast. He confirmed what my heart had been crying out to God for months. He spoke the words of Jesus in Matthew 7, "Seek and you will find," and the words from Jeremiah 29, verse 13, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Here, God was opening my eyes to a promise that he was making to me, that he's made to us all. That when we seek him, we will find him. Not might, not occasionally. We will find him because he wants to be found by us. Here, he was revealing his heart to be found by me. Last year, around the time that Matt and Abby's son Jonathan was born, Abby's dad, Toby, was visiting from America, and we were playing hide and seek with Nathaniel one afternoon. Toby would hide just out of sight, enough for it to be really exciting for Nathaniel. Nathaniel would go hunting for his poppy, that's what he calls his grandpa, and Toby would give a little cough from behind a cupboard door, or he'd hide under the bed and call out quietly for him, or he'd stick a foot out from behind the back of a curtain. Just enough for his three-year-old grandson to not become discouraged, but enough that there was perseverance and joy in actually finding him. I think this is what our Father God does with us. He hides his heart within the pages of Scripture, tucked away enough for us to search for him, but making himself found because he wants to be found by us. So I spent the next year searching for him through Scripture. He opened my eyes and my heart to see his heart through the life of Jesus, because that's where I started. He revealed his heart to be with us through the birth of Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. He revealed his heart to be with us even when we're unattractive or when we're cynical and doubting, through the lives of Nicodemus and Nathaniel. He revealed his heart to be the one who meets our needs through the stories of Jesus at the wedding in Canaan, and through the life of the Samaritan woman at the well. He revealed his faithfulness to me through the death and the life of Lazarus. I can't say that name, Lazarus. I saw his heart to see us restored and valued through his interactions with the woman who had been caught committing adultery and the healing of the sick woman in the crowd. I saw his heart for reconciliation with us through the prodigal son and the redemption of Peter. I saw his heart longing to be with us, for nothing to separate us in his death. And I saw his promise to never leave us in his resurrection and by sending the Holy Spirit. God had been teaching me so much about his heart, but there was one story that when I read it, it took my breath away. I probably will cry when I read it. As I read it, he revealed his voice to me. I haven't even opened it yet. I felt like the whole world stood still as I read the words in John. It was the run-up to the following Easter, and I was reading again the life and death of Jesus in the book of John. for anyone who's writing notes, it's John 20, verse 11 to 16. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. Sorry. This might take a while. Is it catching, Kate? And saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said. I can't even see the words. "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was him. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. He didn't jump out in front of her straight away, yelling, "Surprise, it's me." In Mary's brokenness, her hurt and her grief, she hadn't recognized him. But then he spoke one word and it changed everything for her. He called her by name. And then she knew. She saw him for who he really was in that moment. She searched. Thank you, Pauline. I'll stop sniffing down the mic now. Thanks. She searched for him and he revealed himself to her. And with this, he completely had my heart. You see, I think the Holy Spirit really, really wants to reveal the directions to finding more and more of God's heart. Because the more we know him, the more we love him. And it affects every single area of our lives. The more we know him through learning his heart throughout scripture, the more it changes the rest of our relationship with him and how we communicate with him. Timothy Keller, in his book titled Prayer, states that the more we learn about him through his word, the more we know who we are praying and talking to, because we know who he is. It doesn't just end there. The more we know him and his heart, the more we can truly see him when we worship him. And when we serve him, we know who we're copying. One of the things I love about Father God is how well he knows what we need. He knew that we'd need something physical to highlight as our hearts come alive, to pour over in the darkness and to hold on to in the storm, to write notes on and slip bookmarks into, and to commit to memory. There have been times since falling in love with the Lord where his voice has been almost audible to me. I've been surrounded by the prophetic, healings have been commonplace, and the Lord seemed to be moving in a mighty way through me and through those around me. But can I just encourage you? Whether this is the season that you're in, or like times that I've experienced since, where we pray and we haven't seen the breakthrough we wanted, when we struggle to hear the voice that was so familiar to us, when we choose to turn to him and still go back to his word time and time again, he's moving just as mightily then. He's given us his word as something concrete for him to speak through in every season of the soul. Bill Johnson, the pastor of Bethel Redding in California, says that whenever he's feeling discouraged, whether it be spiritually or through his circumstances, he will open the word, and whether it takes one verse or whether it takes 20 chapters, he will read until he hears God's voice. Even if the circumstances in our lives don't change or our feelings don't change, we become aware of his heart and his promises for us, and that changes everything. So I want to encourage you, keep seeking his voice through his word. I hope that as we've been going through this series on scripture, your eyes and your hearts have been opened, to the way that God has his heart turned towards you. That the lives we have read about haven't just been stories, but they've been directions to the Father's heart. That as we read Genesis together, your hearts came alive to the hope of fulfilled promises. That as we read Exodus together, you saw how God's heart has always been to rescue and to redeem us. And as we traveled through Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you've heard the sound of God's faithfulness to us as his people time and time again. I'd love to pray with anyone who feels like the Holy Spirit has been stirring something in them this morning, whether it's been through the worship or through hearing the testimonies this morning, whether it's because you want your heart to come alive as you read scripture for the first time, or whether, like I had, you feel like you'd come under the lie that God's love was conditional for you based on what you do. The ministry team will also be on hand to pray for you as well. I'd like to close by praying for us as family now, and then Hayley will let us know the practicalities of praying for Angie and Machik and setting up the food. Holy Spirit, thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you for the way that you love us and you pursue us time and time again. And God, I ask that you would be opening our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to hear from you, to know you more, and in response, to love you more. God, we simply say we love you so much. Amen.